This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for hanging out with us here. It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Will Hill. You can catch us YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158, and of course, the VSiN Watch app, where you can choose every single show and check them out whenever you would like on your own time. Major League Baseball, we've got technically 10 games currently going on. The Mets and the Pirates in a rain delay at the moment, Will. But let's look at what's happening currently across Major League Baseball and see how the numbers have adjusted, as there was some scoring very early in this window, but things have slowed down some. It remains the Rays 4-0 in Baltimore, minus 1,300 on Tampa Bay, plus 640 with the Orioles, totals 10.5. Think about the over as it just jumped up to 11.5. I'd still think about the over in that one, just because I do think Baltimore is going to get Littell for a couple of runs here. And it sounds like Tampa just is not scared of Zach Eflin in any which way, or whoever Baltimore brings in the bullpen. So I think the runs will keep coming in that one, Will.
Plus, Baltimore is the home team is trailing, so it's a little hidden in your factor. I guess a hidden edge that you're going to get that bottom of the ninth sure. at bat. Most likely. So that's another set of outs to deal with. So yeah, I would agree with your play. And this is one where just going through these games here, it had a pretty good feel for a lot of these. 1-0 St. Louis, Cleveland in the fourth, like first five under. I played some of these. I played some of them late. White Sox catching a half run in the first five was one I know we didn't get to, but Hauser's been underrated. Didn't play that one very big. So I don't know. I feel like I left a little money on the table here in this 4 o'clock Eastern window. Frustrating.
I'll continue the theme. My lean was Kansas City plus 135. Now it's a lot of baseball to be played. Seth Lugo, 3 innings, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts against the Dodgers. The Royals up 2-0 on LA, bottom three. You can get 2-1 on the Dodgers. As much as I like the plus 135 with Lugo and company, I do think 2-1 on the Dodgers when they're down by two, like that is for them coming back down two runs is like another team being down one. Like it's nothing for them. In fact, it's like being tied for the Dodgers with what they normally do. And for Kansas City, the offense has been so bad of late. Do we anticipate them scoring more than two runs today, Will?
Not a bad look. Not a bad look at all. I was doing the show Tuesday night with Tim Murray, and we had guests on. We were talking NBA draft. We had just kind of casually noticed the Dodgers were down 2-0 to the Rockies. You know, he mentioned it was plus money. We went back to the baseball. Next thing you know, they're up 7-2. And that was another really missed opportunity. We're 2-0 in Coors, Dodgers, Rockies. You do have to be aware of these sometimes. But I think you have the right approach from it where you look at these teams that fall behind and you get a obviously you're going to get a better number because the team's losing. But sometimes there is the bang for your buck here on these teams that are losing.
Yeah, the number has to make it worth your while. That's the key there. And so I like the dog at the beginning. Now I like the dog in game. If I would have bet Kansas City to start things off at plus 130, I'd probably take a little bit of those winnings and put it on the Dodgers and end up, you know, with a stress-free game here. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Live Bet Saturday. Looking through the MLB baseball card right now, where some updates around the league. The Marlins up 3-1 on the road at Arizona. Currently minus 162 favorites, plus 124 with Brandon Pfaadt in Arizona. Totals 10.5. I don't think that total's adjusted enough, Will. Let me see where my notes are. I think that one was 9.5. Let me see. 9. So pre-flop total was 9. We're in the third and we've had 4. I think that 10.5 is too low. I'd look at the over there at minus 122 over 10.5.
Don't disagree with you. Plus, the road team is ahead, so more likely now than it was before the game that you're going to get the bottom of the ninth. And anytime you can get into that Diamondbacks bullpen and bet against them, that's usually a good way to play it because they really have some issues, not just in the back of the game, but their entire bullpen is tough. So the Diamondbacks are really a good live betting over team because they're prone to first off, they have a good lineup, and they are prone to giving up large chunks of runs late in these games with how bad their pen is.
Yep. And Arizona is a team that has had some miraculous comebacks in the last couple of innings of games lately. So that's a team that I'd like to back that never says die. I'm looking at this Cincinnati and San Diego score. Reds are up 3-0, Will. Andrew Abbott continues to wheel and deal for the Reds. Right now, minus 810 favorites on Cincinnati, up 3-0 in the third, plus 473 the other way with San Diego. In-game totals, 9.5. I'd actually think about the under. Randy Vasquez, while he hasn't been a good pitcher for his career, he hasn't been horrible this year. He's allowed 3 runs. I do think he can limit the rest of the results. Sometimes we see teams like Cincinnati up 3-0 and they have a different approach at the plate where they play not to lose and maybe they don't add more runs. This is a spot here where I think about under 9.5 because Andrew Abbott's been a revelation for the Reds.
He certainly has. And as I'm looking at, I'm going to look up a live bet here on Abbott for Cy Young. I'm trying to find out what his odds are because he's underrated. Wow. FanDuel has up. Do you want to guess the number?
It's 100-1.
50-1. 50. I don't mind that bet. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, I feel bad. Someone ran it by me the other day. They said, what do you think about Andrew Abbott, Cy Young? And I think it was 100-1 or 80-1 at the time. I said, I like Zach Wheeler 12-1 better. So, I mean, Wheeler's down to 4-1, so it's not like
you're both right. I mean, you could both be ahead of the number. You could both be right. You could, you know, it's not one or the other. Even though only one can win the award, those could both be, you know, good prices. I would bet both those guys right now. If you give me Wheeler at 12-1, Abbott 100-1, I would make bets on each one and just, you know, hopefully you're in a position where you can hedge or one of them gets home or whatever.
Yeah, no, I did say, I said, look, if you like someone and they're 80-1 or 100-1, you just take a flyer. And like, if it shortens up, you bet it again. Like, I have no problem being wrong for a small bet on someone at 80-1. And if it ends up being right, coming back at 50-1 or 40-1 and hit it a couple times for a little bit as you gain confidence in the play. So look, Abbott down to 50-1. The Cy Young markets are fascinating. I don't know why. Maybe it's a contrarian thing. I just want to fade Skeens and Skubal. I just think the numbers they're just a little too drastic for how early in the year we are. And also with the way pitchers are. Pitchers can go down at any point in time. And all of a sudden, think about Victor Wembanyama, the defensive player of the year market in basketball this year. No one saw it coming. He's a massive favorite. All of a sudden, he's out the rest of the year. Market opens up and doesn't know who to favor. It fluctuates. You could have hit that thing 3 or 4 different times and had huge plus tickets on everyone in the mix. I think the same goes for the Cy Young market. Pitchers go down all the time. I think there are still guys that are mispriced.
Who do you think? Who do you like? Because I'm with you.
Let's see. Well, I mentioned Max Fried in the AL at 10-1. I'm curious if Drew Rasmussen at 75-1 can throw enough innings. The issue is health and the issue is innings for him. Lugo's 150-1 and he's dealing against the Dodgers, but the innings might be an issue with the IL. In the National League, Mackenzie Gore 30-1. He's going to be up there with the strikeout totals. He's turned a corner. I think a guy going tonight in Schwellenbach at 30-1 is interesting. Yamamoto at 35-1. When I know he's hit a bit of a skid compared to how he started, that number feels like a little big on him.
Right.
And then I know Chris Sale has the rib thing. That's why he's 100-1. If he can come back a little bit early and continue to do what he does, I don't know if he'll have enough innings in the end. That's about where I'd look in that market. Anyone jump out to you?
No, I mean, you basically, you know, we're betting half the guys here. That might be a problem, but no, I don't, you know, free 10-1. I like the Rasmussen at 75-1. Again, you mentioned that you bet somebody in the 75-1 range. That's worth a shot. I don't think he's going to win, but I think Skubal has not looked great the past couple starts. I was starting to wonder, I saw his velocity tick down the last couple starts. The A's hit him hard early. So I don't know. I don't want to be in a position where I just, you know, I look up at the end of the year and I've got 7 or 8 different bets and none of them win. That's a bad feeling. We've all been there. At least I have with these awards. So I try to take it easy. Free to 10-1, though, is not a bad bet. I think of all of the ones that we've mentioned here in both, I think free to 10-1 is the best.
Yeah, you also have DeGrom at 11-1, but again, it's DeGrom.
I saw that one too.
At any point in time, things just snap when it comes to DeGrom's arm.
Or the other thing, they could trade him to the National League. It's not impossible.
That's true. No, that is true. Get rid of the contract, move on. I'm curious if there'd be a Mets reunion in the cards.
I thought about it. It doesn't sound like he loved New York. It sounds like the Southern lifestyle, and he was annoyed with the Mets that they gave Scherzer more money. I think he was annoyed they picked Scherzer in game one of that division series, or that play-in series against the Pirates. It sounded like he was on his way out with the Mets for a while. Could that be rekindled? I don't know. It'd be a fun story. It'd be a great story. It's a perfect fit from a baseball standpoint, and it's great to see him healthy. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I thought of the same thing. I don't know if it ultimately happens. I wonder if he has a no-trade clause, too, if he can kind of dictate where he goes or doesn't go, like Ace Bailey is trying to.
Yeah, I don't know why he'd be annoyed with the Mets, because he's only proven the Mets right so far. He's made 25 starts over 2.5 seasons. So the Mets made the right decision in not giving him the contract that he wanted to keep him in New York. But I understand.
Well, here's the thing. He renegotiated at a point where he took a certain contract. He took the deal. And then a couple years later, he was just awesome from like that point on. And then they gave Scherzer all this money. He's like, wait, you're giving Scherzer all this money. I only make this. But the problem is, like, you signed that contract, you negotiated it, and then you broke out and just went to this all-world pitcher. So I get his frustration, but it's not really justified.
No, the only players whose side I'm on in that argument about, like, getting a bad deal with contracts are two, and they're both for the Braves. It's Ronald Acuña Jr. and Ozzie Albies. When you look up what those two are getting paid and how there wasn't like a federal investigation to how their agents were allowed to negotiate those deals, they stole money out of those players' pockets. It is insane. I don't understand how it happened.
No, you're right. Very team friendly, to put it. Yeah, yeah.
They were so team friendly. I thought maybe they got partial ownership in the team. That's how little money they took at the time. Hey, are you betting on sports? Why not try betting on the races as well? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. All you got to do is go to firstbet.com today. He's Will Hill. He is the host of the acclaimed Should Have Bet More podcast, which I've appeared on several times. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'm just a guy who's sitting here at Circa. I mean, that's really just reality. That's the best description I can give you right now. But we have some bets that we want to hit. I also want to get Will's thoughts on, he mentioned Ace Bailey. Is there an NBA Rookie of the Year bet that jumps out where the number feels right? We'll attack that market when we return. There's one at 50-1 that I think makes sense. It's Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it here, live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with Will Hill with you for the next hour and 45 minutes, monitoring all the baseball action right now. Will, I'm about to do my best New York Yankee impression. You know what I'm doing?
Okay.
You know what I'm doing?
What's that? Looking over your shoulder.
Looking over my shoulder, because don't look now.
Doesn't work as well for the radio.
It doesn't work for the radio. Hey, YouTube TV, if you want to see the video, VSiN Watch app, you can check out the shows. SiriusXM Channel 158, and of course, our radio affiliates around the country.
Method acting, though. You're showing off a little bit with the method act. That was impressive.
Yeah.
You peaked. You turned properly. I mean, that was that you might be in the wrong field here. You should be making motion pictures.
Ready, fun fact for you. I want you to do this while I'm talking. Google people to go to the Stella Adler School of Acting in New York City. Because when I was 15, I was accepted into this school. And I turned them down because I didn't want to give up playing certain sports during the week. And I thought the building was dirty. Because, you know, it's artsy. It's old in New York City. When you look at the famous actors who went to this school, it's going to blow your freaking mind. I told them no. They're like, people don't tell us no. So I could have been an actor. I wouldn't even know you. I think De Niro went there. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But a lot of big names went there. My point is, your New York Yankees should be scared.
Do you regret it? No, we can't move on to the Yankees. Is this a point of regret in your life? We can have a therapy session. Do you play the what could have, should have been game?
Yeah, but here's the problem. So because I was an actor, like when I was in school plays and stuff, up until ninth grade, then I quit because I got bullied. So the ironic part was, all my sports friends that I played sports with made fun of me because I acted. But the acting kids didn't like me because I played sports. So I was there was a no-win situation, and I chose not to sit with the people who got picked on at lunch with the people who did the picking on. So I sided with the sports people, and that's how we ended up here today. This is kind of a combination of things, right? I knew I wanted to be in entertainment, and I knew I wanted to do something in sports, so I just combined the two for this. That's all.
Tough. That's tough. Yeah, that's you're in a tough spot there. I didn't know that. That's a fun story, though. Is this a well-known thing about you?
No. My parents make fun of me all the time. They're like, you got into one of the most prestigious acting schools in New York City, and you're just like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not going to go. It was just twice a week, too. It wasn't a big deal. But, yeah, that's where we are. But my greater point with the whole thing was Tampa's up 8-0 on the Orioles in Baltimore right now. In-game totals 14.5, and their offense is legit. It's not just when they're at home at Steinbrenner Field, which is an ironic thing to say when I'm mentioning the Yankees, but they're scoring runs everywhere. Brandon Lau's been awesome. Yandy Diaz went yard today. Aranda hit a homer, who Adam Ronis, who we had on earlier. If Tampa's facing a righty without overpowering stuff, I always look at Jonathan Aranda, who's having a stupid year, hitting .332. But Tampa up 8-0, Will. They are very, very much legit. I want to see how, if there's been any adjustment in the division market when it comes to the AL East, because they've been chomping at New York for a while now. Let's see. Right. AL East. They're still 4-1. They're 4-1 and they're a game back. I'm sorry. That needs to be an official play. I'm betting the Rays at 4-1 to win the East.
What book is that? And is that the best number? Have you shopped this, or is that just the first one you saw?
I'm looking at DraftKings on my computer. I'll pull up my phone. That's probably not the best number, or probably not a number
you
I can get
shop.
Out here.
You're better than that. You got to shop that around. You might get a 410, a 420. You and I both know Steve Fezzik pretty well. You better hope he is not listening if you just took the first number. He's not.
I didn't bet it yet. I'm just saying I'm going to bet them to win the division. I just need to find the right number. See, it's off the board in Vegas. Vegas is scared. Vegas is scared of the Tampa Bay Rays. They took it off the board. That's what you need to know.
That's, boy, during a game to take, I mean, it's only one of 162. That's
division game?
I know, division. That is a weird one. That's a weird one. I get awards because you could have, I don't know, judge gets hurt or school, an injury, and you don't want to just be bothered to price it properly, but camp division, that's a strange one to take off the board.
All right, looking across Major League Baseball, some updates on scores, maybe ones we haven't hit yet or updates we've missed. The Rangers are up 2-0 on the Mariners, which we don't love as Seattle backers, but Seattle with two out and two on right now against Kumar Rocker, trying to tie things up. A bloop would essentially tie things up with a runner in scoring position. And it's Dominic Canzone at the plate, who does have a couple homers this week. Maybe he can stay hot here against Rocker another time through the order, where Rocker just does not have the stuff right now. God, remember the controversy with him? The Mets drafting him and then him being hurt, and they let him go back to the draft the next year. He plays independent ball. I still would have liked
him to
sign him.
He wanted to go to
acting
school. That's why he didn't want to sign with the Mets. He wanted to go to acting school, I think.
Yeah, he couldn't get into Stella Adler, though. He had to go to a second-rate school. I mean, right now he's acting like a major league starting pitcher, and he's not doing a great job at it. So I'd like Canzone to drive one in here. I'm trying to find the in-game number. Plus 176 on Seattle right now before Canzone does some damage. Minus 236 on Texas. In-game total 7.5. I think the under would be the play, just with both offenses being kind of light hitting of late. So I think the under 7.5 feels right in the fourth inning right now as Rocker with
a run. You said it was 2-0. They did get one. It is 2-1.
2-1. 2-1. That's what I meant.
They scored early.
Yeah. Okay. Seattle was up 1-0. And then Texas, I want to say it was, was it Seager who homered? Let me pull it up. I saw one wrap around the foul pole, which it should be called.
I didn't see it. There's 100 games on. You can't keep up with all. You put 10 games on at 4 o'clock Eastern. It's better than having only one or two, but it is very hard to keep up with.
Don't worry. Will, you want to focus on just two games tomorrow?
Yeah,
Rob Manfred's got us covered. We're doing this shift for Live Bet Sunday. We got two beautiful games.
For. I get it.
No. Corey Seager hit his 9th homer of the year, so that is how the Rangers took the lead. Right. It's 1-2 count on Canzone, and he's just fouling pitches away, which people love to tell you, oh, no, he's right on it. He's fouling him away. He's fighting him off. I don't buy into that. I actually buy into the fact that the pitcher gets the edge the longer the at-bat goes, because at some point the hitter starts to get in their head with what pitch they're going to see.
I always felt someone pitched in high school and college, a lot of foul balls was a bad sign for a pitcher. That means you don't have the put-away stuff.
True.
So a bunch of foul balls is like, I remember a game in college, like somebody had 7-8 foul balls around. Everyone thought it was funny. I was frustrated. You can't put a guy away. So no, it's an interesting way to look at it as we get another foul ball. So I guess you could look at it, one of two ways. Do you think Rocker ends up being a big time pitcher here? It's not gone well. 96, 97 on the go. There's nothing wrong with his arm. Like you said, he was a big time prospect. I don't know. It's funny how some of these guys, I just saw, who was Forrest Whitley, who is going to be, the next whoever. He's bounced around. I don't even know if he's made the majors.
I think the Astros released him.
He got DFA'd again.
Tough strike three. Strike three.
That was a good pitch.
On the corner. Was it a strike? Yeah, it's a strike. It's a strike.
A good pitch.
And that was a nice look. I conspiracy. This is a safe space for us to say what we feel.
Sure.
I think all of these radar guns are lying. I think they're all juiced up.
I don't know.
I think they're 3 to 4 miles off. I think it's a marketing pitch to make the players happy with what their numbers are, to go into contract demands and act. I think it's all a scam and everyone's in on it to me. It's like, I haven't read what Mike Florio has wrote about and Pablo Torre about this NFL collusion case. I honestly don't care. It doesn't affect my bets, so I really don't care. But conspiracy, this is collusion. All the ballparks are colluding together to make the pitchers look like they throw harder.
I don't think so. I think they just train velocity so much better, which is why you see so many injuries. And look, I love the Mizorowski story, but that kid throwing 102 every pitch, is that going to last? And you see it. Like I see my kids play baseball. You get 11, 12-year-old kids now throwing 70 miles an hour. So I think that's that has a lot to do with it. If anything, the conspiracy theory I notice a lot as a prop bettor, I'm curious if you've noticed it. Oh, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. The inability to just assign errors on any play. If the ball is put in play and the guy ends up on first base, it's a hit no matter what. That, I think, is a conspiracy, something the league wants to make these batting averages look better, because all the batting averages are 220, 230. League average is 244. I think that's why they're very lenient with what's a hit.
Yeah, we were on the air for an egregious one with the A's. Remember, wasn't it so Jacob bad. Wilson to keep a streak going?
Dropped the pop-up.
And there was a pop-up drop. We're like, wait, hold on. There's no world where that's a hit. It's very clearly an error. The fielder's camping underneath it and just doesn't close the glove at the right time. So, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of weird stuff that happens with baseball. And everything that gives baseball attention, it's usually not a good thing. Like, it's never baseball getting attention because baseball's good, right? It's always something else going on. Hey, before the line,
homer Arizona, by the way.
Who, Arizona just homered?
Arizona 3-run homer. So you had a nice lean there on the live over early. It looks like it's Marte. I don't want to give the wrong name, but it does look like Marte.
Yep.
But I think you also have Miami first five plus a half a run.
That's brutal.
That would be a tough one.
That is a tough one. I should have went first three. Should have went first three. Now we know. Now for Brandon Pfaadt, fade the first three. Hey, before the line moves, as Will mentioned, we were on that line move before with Arizona and Miami. We like the in-game over 9, and it's at 9 in the fourth, so it's looking good. Before the line moves, Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sports books or full-time pro bettors on your own, but with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered right to you via email or X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on their site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. Will mentioned a player on a team that I want to bet to win their division. We will break it down next, as they're currently 3-1, and I want to fade that team in first place. That's on the other side of Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keeping it rolling, it's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson here, live at Circa in downtown Las Vegas, right on the edge of the sports book where people are hanging out, monitoring all the baseball action right now. He's Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast at Not The Will Hill over on X. We've got a lot of baseball happening right now. Quick updates, and I want to get Will's thoughts on the NBA draft that went down earlier this week. Will was right. Ketel Marte with the home run for Arizona, and they are now up, 6-3? On the Marlins, 6-3, and laying over 1,000 in the market right now. In-game totals 13.5. I normally wouldn't say this, but I think over 13.5 might be in play.
I would agree.
I think there's enough baseball left to be played. Fifth inning, where I don't really love either bullpen, and the arms are going to throw out here. I definitely think 13.5 is in play. Brewers are up 5-0 on the Rockies. And before we get to the draft, I want to get your thoughts on the Brewers, because that's the team that I keep bringing up. They're plus 330 in the NL Central. And I'm looking at the Central standings, Will. And I'm sorry, I wasn't high on Chicago to begin the year. Then they lost Justin Steele for the season. Imanaga came back from injury. But outside of that, I don't trust Matt Boyd to keep this going. Like, at some point, that guy goes back to being who he is. And I'm looking right now, Milwaukee's two back of Chicago in the Central. Can I convince you with Mizorowski up there for the rest of the season, with Brandon Woodruff doing his rehab in the minors, set to come back in the second half? And honestly, the Milwaukee lineup is a lot better than it's been in years past. A lot of these young guys continue to get better. Sal Frelick, I feel like, has taken the next step. Obviously, Churio is a beast. Bryce Turang might be the best second baseman in the National League right now. I like Milwaukee at plus 330 to win the Central.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. What is the Cincy number? Because that's one. They were everybody's cup of tea before the season. It didn't look right. Everyone's on a team. It's not going to work out. They've quietly played well. Well, Francona knows what he's doing. Francona is one of the few managers who makes a difference, I think. And you know, Abbott's put it together, as we mentioned. They can never keep Hunter Green on the mound. We know that. But that's a team that has a lot of talent, and that talent has started to gel here recently.
Yeah, they're 15-1 right now. They are five games back, which really isn't out of the question in that division.
That's
again,
my favorite one.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with there. I'm just a Milwaukee stan. I love Milwaukee every year. They just are like Tampa Bay. They're the Midwest Tampa Bay.
That's a great comparison.
There's no hype. Comparison. They lose guys every year, and they have these random guys to replace them with. And you're always like, hold on, wait. How is this guy and this guy going to find a way to replace a Corbin Burnes? And yet they do it. By the way, Vinny Pasquantino with a ding-dong. Kansas City now up 6-0 on the Dodgers. Will, today, you and I, we are undefeated in the leagues. The bets, about 50-50. The leans, we are hitting 100%.
That's just it's the tough part of betting, because you can't bet everything you ever think. I mean, I guess you could, but you got to just leave some bets out of the account. That can be a very frustrating one. Now, I do think there's a human element of sometimes you have a lean and it doesn't hit and you just kind of wash that away. Oh, I wasn't going to bet it anyway. I didn't really like it. There's a little bit of that cat and mouse game mentally where we like to beat ourselves up. And I know, and I'm bad about this too, and you know, we could joke about it, but it's a bad habit to get into mentally as a bettor, because it's such a mental aspect of betting where you win a bet and you're mad you didn't bet more, or you lose a bet and you're mad you lost money. You can't be mad all the time, so you can't beat yourself up too much, or betting is just going to be a miserable experience. So you have to take it easy on yourself as a bettor sometimes. Does that make sense? I know I'm getting a little preachy here, but I know I'm hard on myself and like, oh man, I could have done this or that. I always try to figure out ways where I could have or should have won more money. And you got to just give yourself a break sometimes.
You have to do this dance of every bet needs to be isolated and thought of as just that bet, whether it wins or loses. And you can learn from that bet and apply it to another bet, but don't react because of one bet one way and that it's going to go that way continuously going forward. You also should trust sometimes that you know what you're doing. And this was a situation where you were just wrong, but more times than not, you're going to be right over the course of, you know, a larger sample size. Like, I think we get too caught up in this bet went wrong, I'm going to go away from that approach. At the same time, I'm also someone who can be stubborn where I'll believe in a bet, i.e. Gunnar Henderson against Zach Littell today. It's the second time this year I've backed Gunnar Henderson on his total base prop. And so far, that's not getting there. So I might be a little too stubborn with my backing of Gunnar Henderson in that role. Maybe look for another way to attack the board. It's a constant dance of like when we're right, not to get too high, and when we're low, not to get too low, and find that middle ground somewhere.
Yeah, and not just that. Like sometimes you can win a bet and you're, man, I really didn't have the right handicap on this game, and you lose a bet and you had the right handicap, it just didn't go your way. And being honest with yourself sometimes can be tough, where some people go the other way where every time they lose, they try to turn it into a bad beat. But if they won, it's like, oh, I won. It wasn't lucky. You get into that factor too. So, you know, being honest with yourself is important part of it too. How about this though? I mentioned, I think earlier, I have Rockies under 9.5 wins. I gave it out on VSiN right as the month was starting here. The Rockies had 9 wins, I don't know, a week or so ago. They are still on 9 wins, and they are down 5-0 to Colorado, to Milwaukee. The last day of June is on Monday. They don't play on Monday. So it's all going to come down to Sunday afternoon in Milwaukee. I got the Rockies not only under 9.5, but I wanted some plus money. I wanted to make it plus money. So I parlayed it with the Thunder, which was a little harder than I wanted it to be. What should I do tomorrow? Should I let it ride? I got to look at the pitching match. I might even check it out.
Should I
take the Rockies plus 1.5 and try to go for a middle and just insure myself something back? How would you play it?
Getaway day. And you've got Herman Marquez on the bump for Colorado on the road.
Yeah.
Chad Patrick, who's been solid for Milwaukee. Yeah. I think you just let it ride. I don't know.
Any
man.
Chance they could pitch Sanizawa again tomorrow? Pitch him on back, start him on back to back days.
I mean, Marquez hasn't been much better, man. He's got like a 6 ERA and on the road.
He's got potential. You know what? Sanizawa is the worst. I think Sanizawa is the worst pitcher in baseball.
He probably, dude, the guy I used to fade back in the day was Tom Kohler. I would just stack big lefties against Tom Kohler back in the day. Marquez is an interesting case because he's actually worse on the road than he is at home in his home's Coors Field. So, dude, I think you're fine. Under 9.5 wins for Colorado, 6.90 away ERA versus 4.32 at home for Germán Marquez, who, by the way, had a couple of years where you're like, oh, okay, this guy might be solid.
And he's an all-star team.
And then he got a contract, and he's stunk ever since. He's only 30 years old, by the way.
I'd be curious. I'd be interested if I'm some of these other teams that need pitching, and there's a lot of them. Germán Marquez, Kyle Freeland, get him out of Coors Field. And not just get him out of Coors Field, get him away from Colorado, who, you know, a lot of people, if you just read between the lines or read people that cover baseball, Colorado, not exactly, you know, spend a lot of money, spend a lot of money on analytics. Sometimes you could change the mechanics, change their pitch usage, and you can see a different pitcher. You know, the Astros are famous for, they get guys, they change what they throw, they change how they throw. And the next thing you know, it's one of those romantic comedies where they get a haircut and a little makeover and they turn into a supermodel. I'd be curious. I'd be interested if I'm one of these teams that needs a pitcher, and Marquez, Freeland, get them a better organization, get them out of Coors. You might see a different pitcher.
Yeah, the Mets do that. The Mets did it with Luis Severino last year, right? They did it this year with Griffin Canning, Sean Manaea a year ago, who's going to come back. It's the pitching lab. And it started with the Dodgers. I remember I had a conversation with Ross Stripling when he made the All-Star team, where we were like, Ross, we had you on the... Yeah, it's a big name drop. He did just retire.
He did.
We were like, Ross, you were a good pitcher, right? Came up, had a no-hitter in his major league debut, but now you're an all-star. Like, what's different? He's like, basically, the Dodgers sat me down and they're like, you don't know how to pitch. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know how to pitch. I got to the majors. They're like, nah, throw your breaking ball more. You're throwing your fastball way too much. Your fastball is not that good. Throw the breaking ball in this count. Throw this breaking ball in this count. Approach these guys this way, and you'll be successful. Yeah. And he got a big contract. Like, he got paid in Major League Baseball. The certain front offices know what they're doing, and others just kind of let these guys go out there and be themselves. And that's winning on the margins in today's Major League Baseball.
Which is why I'd be looking to pick off the weaker organizations, the teams that are, you know, not good at doing that stuff, and see if I can get something out of Marquez or Freeland. Those are interesting guys to watch, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. Hey, do you want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, the VSiN betting splits come straight from Circa, right behind me, and the DraftKings Sportsbooks. They'll give you insight into where the sharp action is actually landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings gives you a broader market perspective nationally. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, the kind of wagers that move the lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle in every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. All you got to do to get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. And speaking of bets we were wrong about, my Chris Bassett over 17.5 outs recorded. Couldn't have been more wrong about anything. He's not even in the ball game anymore. Right now we have, what is the score? I just had it. 9-1. Red Sox up 9-1, bottom four. Guardians leave the Cardinals 6-3. The Reds still up on the Padres 3-0 in the fifth. Rangers on top of Seattle 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Tampa's all over Baltimore 9-0, bottom five. Brewers lead Colorado 5-0, middle of the sixth. And the Royals, as we mentioned, a 6-0 lead on the visiting Dodgers in the top of the sixth inning. White Sox up 1-0 on San Fran and Robbie Ray, and it's the D-backs 6, the Marlins 3. That is your scoreboard update. What should we look at betting when it comes to the late window of baseball action and maybe some futures along the way as well? Mick Chiarella from Fantrax joins us next. It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with Will Hill, live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. Brian Wu just picked up his seventh strikeout of the night or the day to end the fifth inning against Texas. Rangers still up 2-0 there. We'll keep you updated if anything changes in that game and all the action with Major League Baseball. But it's been an interesting time as baseball's taken center stage here. Want to bring on more people who help us make smarter betters when it comes to baseball. And one of my favorite follows over on X is our next guest. He is Mick Chiarella at the Mick 23. You can check him out over at Fantrax, also Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. And Mick joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Mick, thanks as always for doing this, man. You're always pumping out the props and the plays over on X. I love following your work, so I love to pick your brain with the baseball. Let's look at some plays that you have coming up, some futures, one for tonight. Let's go to the home run market. Leading the majors in home run, I was going to bet Suarez a couple weeks ago at 125-1. Luckily, I didn't do that because I believe he just got injured. But that market's constantly fluctuating. And right now, you think there's a guy at the top of the board that's worth betting at the price. Who is that and what's the number?
Yeah, guys. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. You know, it's a little chalky, but I'm going to go with Aaron Judge. You can still get him at plus money at 120. Listen, we know Cal Raleigh is doing great things. The big dumper, everybody loves to see what he's doing. But Judge has been doing this consistently for several years. Raleigh is due for a little bit of regression. You know, for his last couple of seasons, he's averaged a home run every 18 or 19 plate appearances. This year, that number is down to 11. And even still, he's only up by 3 on Otani, 4 on Judge. To be honest with you, if Otani wasn't pitching, I would lean towards taking him at plus 230, between 230 and 250, depending on the book. But I think the way things stand now, I think Judge has the proven track record. You know, he's got the better ballpark as far as power goes. You know, T-Mobile Park is not exactly the most friendly park when it comes to home runs. So I still think Aaron Judge should be the leader in the clubhouse when it's all said and done.
Having said that, let's stay on Judge versus Raleigh, because I think that's developing to possibly a very interesting summer. A catcher flirting with 60-plus homers. Who knows how many homers? Outside of injury, what stat line would Cal Raleigh need to actually win this MVP award?
You know, that's interesting. I think the Mariners would have to make the playoffs, which they're in a very decent position to do. You know, in order to be Judge, it's interesting. I think Judge is going to be there because of the batting average more than anything. I think the power numbers are going to be pretty similar at the end of the day. But if Judge is hitting 325 at the end of the year and Raleigh's hitting 260, 270, it's going to be tough for him to get there, I think. So I think given the power numbers, you know, he'd probably have to beat Judge by, you know, 8 or 9 home runs, 15 or 20 RBIs to offset the batting average.
Well, as a Cal Raleigh 10-1 ticket holder, I hate saying this, but the reason why Judge always scares me is the injuries. That's the only reason you wouldn't win everywhere, because when he's on the field, I mean, we're talking Jimmy Fox. We're talking Miguel Cabrera. We're talking some of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time type numbers when it comes to Aaron Judge. He's Mick Chiarella. You check his work out over at Betting Pros, Fantasy Pros, and Fantrax.com. Talking a little baseball, where you and I are on the same page, Mick. A few weeks ago, I put out Zach Wheeler 12-1 and NL Cy Young. I think the market is over-adjusted when it comes to Skeens, and for that matter, the AL Cy Young market when it comes to Tarek Skubal. There's so much more runway left in the season for us to have these guys laying big numbers as we approach July. What number are you going to do with Zach Wheeler, and why do you believe he contends for this National League Cy Young award?
So, yeah, I got to piggyback on what you said, because I remember when you pulled that at 12-1, and you know that kind of got my antennas up. And now, you know, you can still get, it's come down quite a bit. It's still you can get it at 425 on ESPN Bet. I just checked this afternoon, and I still love that number. You know, I mean, obviously it's not as good as 12-1, but you know, we're in 2025. We have you know, we're enlightened human beings. We don't necessarily need to rely on wins as the end all be all stat. But it's not just that when it comes to Wheeler versus Skeens. You know, you look at some of the advanced metrics, you know, K minus walk, XFIP, Sierra. Skeens is 8th or 9th in the National League in all three of those categories, while Wheeler is 1st or 2nd in all three. So it's not just the fact that Wheeler is going to get more wins. I think he's actually, you can make a very strong argument that he's pitched better. And, you know, from a narrative standpoint, you know, there's always the, you know, the voters' reasoning of, you know, Wheeler's 35 years old. He's never won the Cy Young. He's been, you know, runner up a couple of times. Skeens, you know, theoretically, hopefully has his whole career ahead of him to have, you know, that dominant season or seasons of winning future Cy Young. So I really think this could be the year that Wheeler wins it. And even at, you know, 420 plus 425, I still like that number a lot.
I know you don't have a play in this market, but I just think it's fascinating from a betting standpoint. National League Rookie of the Year. This time a week ago, Chase Burns was 100-1. Tuesday, as he makes his debut in the second, third inning, he's 3-1. Mizorowski is only thrown three games here, a handful of innings. He's the favorite. What do you make of this market? Is there a bet to be made here?
You know, it's tough because I was looking at that a lot this afternoon when trying to figure out, you know, which kind of plays I wanted to go with. It's a toss-up to me. I think Mizorowski is going to have that steam, you know, as the weeks and months go forward, kind of like Skeens did last year. And, you know, especially if Milwaukee keeps this ascension towards possibly winning the division and making the playoffs, you know, I think he's probably a better bet than Burns, as much as we like Burns, you know, is striking out the side in his debut, which was awesome, even though it was against my Yankees. I do like Mizorowski as a, you know, up-and-coming bet in that market.
How about the most wins in July? Because you have a number down here at 10-1. When you start getting in that 10-1 range, Mick, I'm always intrigued. It gets the juices flowing. And that market's been fun, right? It seems like you can identify some long shots that have a chance. And then if it comes down to the end of the month, there's an opportunity to find a way to make some money. 10-1, most wins in the month of July. Which team are we going with?
I have the Cleveland Guardians at 10-1 to have the most wins in July, and it might start out a little bit rough. They start out with the Cubs, the Tigers, and the Astros. So if you're in a situation where, you know, maybe a week into the month, you know, if they're sitting at 3-4, 4-3, if that number stays steady for the first 7 to 10 days of the month, I absolutely love it going forward because the schedule into and out of the All-Star break is about as good as it gets. After the Astros, they face the White Sox going into the break for 4 games. Then coming out of the break, they face the Athletics, the Orioles, the Royals, and the Rockies. So that's about as good as it gets. So I think in that last, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, they can go on a 12-3, 12-4 run and kind of get in there.
Trade deadline not that far away, the next month or so. The problem with adding all these extra playoff teams, you don't get that many sellers. Pretty much every team in baseball outside of 5 or 6 is within a reasonable amount of the playoffs. That being said, do you see a surprise trade candidate? Could DeGrom get moved? What are your thoughts here on the deadline guys you're going to be looking at that could swing a race one way or another?
You know, DeGrom is a very interesting guy. I would be very intrigued at Texas looking to deal him. You know, we know the track record when he's on the mound, but, you know, to be frank, you know, the injury history is a concern, obviously, which is, you know, given the last few years. So he's definitely a guy that can swing a race, but I'm very intrigued what Texas would get for him in a potential deal, given the kind of, you know, injury history he's had, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years. I wonder how much a team would be willing to par for him.
He's Mick Chiellella. You can find him over on X at the Mick 23. And you've got one more play for us tonight. We're going to go with Nats and Angels, I believe. That's right. Washington and the Angels. What are we looking at when it comes to that matchup?
I think as far as tonight's game goes, I'm going to go with the over 9 runs. First of all, we got a couple of hot offenses over the last week or so. The Angels have the highest WRC plus at about 154 over the last 7 days. Washington not very far behind at 130. We've got a couple of starting pitchers who are, you know, a little bit less than average. Hendricks has a high 4 ERA with similar metrics as far as XFIP and Sierra and things like that. Soroka has pitched better than his ERA, but his ERA is still a little bit over 5. And while he's pitched better than that, you know, I still think the Angels can get to him. And then you look at the bullpens, too. Washington has basically had the worst bullpen in MLB for most of the season. The Angels' bullpen has been a little bit better of late, but, you know, they had 5 relievers throw at least 15 pitches last night, so they're a little taxed. I think both teams will be able to put up some runs tonight.
He's Mick Chiellella. Give him a follow at the Mick 23. Thanks, as always, for joining us, man. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That's Mick Cilelli. He joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. And Will, I've got some good news to report. While we were chatting with Mick, the Seattle Mariners tied things up at 2 in the sixth inning. So we're back live when it comes to Seattle on the road where they were laying 120 with Brian Wu on the bump. More updates from Major League Baseball. Are there any live bets for us to place? Will and I will dissect them when we return on Live Bet Saturday.